Welcome, everyone, to the first Radio Sentai Cast Ranger panel. We're live at AFK Con here in Guelph.
Woo! Rock on!
Yup.
And we got the four of us here today. And today we're going to be giving our discussion and reaction to three episodes of Big Bad Beetleborgs, which there will also be a live riff track video that we also recorded just
links
before this.
Links above our heads right now.
See it?
See it? Because we can't.
We hate ourselves, that's why.
Shut up and clear the roll call.
Live!
We're live!
Watching all the anime! Redcaster!
Cho Raven!
Equipment Wielder!
Bluecaster!
Ishida Zazil!
Respecting the source material!
Greencaster! Senshin!
Trauma Inducer!
Northcaster! Saga!
Hoping that would take longer.
I know, right?
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai!
Cast Ranger! On air!
Welcome once again to the AFK Con special of Cast Ranger.
Yep.
Here we are in a beautiful Guelph here at AFK Con, and it's a lot of fun. Everyone's super friendly here.
Wish I was AFK.
I think the point is, by being here, you are AFK. Yeah. That's why it says on the badge, I was AFK.
Come to this con next year. It's actually pretty alright.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
Before we get into the discussion proper, I want to give a special shout out to Hamilton Ball Pythons. They're a really cool group who raise reptiles and look after ones that have, they rescue reptiles. It's a cool little thing.
They're kind of guests here. And they're building my snake zord, so that's going to be amazing.
They're really cool people. But
yeah. You know, we never really talked about what Cast Ranger Zords we would have.
Hey, it's a secret, man. They don't need to know what our Zords look like. Cause
even though you just told them.
Hamilton Ball Python. They're good guys.
Yeah, I'm talking about an auxiliary Zord, maybe. Oh, okay. My Zord's cooler.
Ooh, okay.
Isn't it obvious which one mine would be?
White Snake?
What?
No, a fucking wolf, yo.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Mine would be the dragon.
So wait, are we animal-based?
I don't know yet. We're filming equipment tapes.
Apparently, I'm Godzilla Caster, so
yeah.
I wouldn't be the first Power Ranger to use a Godzilla themed Zord.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Or the first green one, for that matter.
I like how that was supposed to be like the Green Ranger's coin, even though his coin is like the flame thing.
Yeah,
it's like
just
it looks like, I always thought it was like a crest.
Yeah, it's a claw.
Yeah, I guess. Anyways. So, we're here to talk about Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Why, I don't know.
So, just to get
because a quick... our childhood, that's why.
Don't like it.
Don't remind me.
So, just a quick introduction. Big Bad Beetleborgs was the Heimsaban incarnation of Juko B-Fighter and B-Fighter Kabuto, two shows from the Metal Hero franchise, which is sort of a sister series to Kamen Rider and Super Sentai.
The lesser, more popular one.
Yeah, we've talked about Gavan a bunch on Cast Ranger. The Juko B-Fighter was another
Speaking
one in the same
which,
franchise.
I swear to God, that second episode had one of the friggin' space sheriffs.
Yeah,
I think
it had Shider.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that was fucking Shider, yeah.
I don't know who it is. I don't know if someone is able to look that up.
So, because we hate ourselves,
yeah. We
decided we're going to watch three Beetleborgs episodes in a row.
Yeah. So
we're masochists.
So I looked through the episodes to decide what three would be great to watch here. So I decided on episode 2 of the first season, which is where they actually get their powers and do their first fights and everything.
Mm. Because episode 1 had nothing of the sort.
Because episode 1 is just character setup.
And Scooby-Doo running.
Yeah, but that's throughout the whole show.
That too.
Yes.
The next episode we watched was
the convention special,
which took place at freaking Comic-Con.
Actually, Comic-Con.
We'll get into that.
Yes.
And the last one was
part 1 of the Shadowborg arc,
which was
my favorite arc.
The Shadowborg was actually cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah. Which led us to the White Blast of Beetleborg.
Yes.
What? Yeah.
Thanks for the spoilers, Ichi. We didn't get introduced to the
White
Blaster Beetleborg.
Oh, good God in heaven and Christ.
You did it.
Sorry, I activated the thing.
Are we having fun?
He just became a ninja.
Sorry, I ninjured.
Suddenly I'm a ninja.
Yeah. So, I want to say straight off about Beetleborgs, I get the feeling this was always intended to be a comedy series.
Yeah.
Oh, God,
with some fighting thrown into it, and by comedy I use that loosely. Because, like, there's just way too many goddamn antics going on in these shows.
Like, Power Rangers...
crazy hijinks.
Power Rangers had the hijinks.
I think for a sec... Yeah, they did have the hijinks, but at the end of the day, it was about the fighting, was the show. This show had
wouldn't
some of the worst...
fighting?
Well, okay, in Power Rangers, at least, the fighting was semi-competent.
Yeah.
Good at best.
Yeah.
This was just... It never got to the point where I thought they were actually fighting.
Well,
they're just
children.
They're just... No, not even that. They're chill. I'm talking about the actual suit actors. They're just doing this.
No, but the reason the fighting was bad is because they're children.
Yeah, I mean, this is we always complain, oh yeah, teenagers with attitude. These 25-year-old teenagers with attitude.
But those teenagers studied martial arts.
Yes, and they can act.
Do you know what would have been hilarious? If, like, they just went in the opposite direction of that, because, like, with Power Rangers, like, they're all teenagers, but they're all played by, like, 20-year-olds. This one, they are supposed to be, like, 16-year-olds still, but they're played by 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
Just little experimentation like that.
Hey guys, can we be Power Rangers too?
Why not?
Sure,
yeah!
Let's make the show.
Isn't that great or what?
I think we should like discuss very briefly the premise of this show.
Yeah, okay. So basically, if I may.
Go ahead.
The story of this show is three typical average kids who love to read their comic strips enter a haunted mansion and find an Elvis ghost. This Elvis ghost comes out of
They free him from the organ by accident.
He comes out of an organ and he touches them in weird ways and gives them powers.
After turning them into rats.
Yes, after turning them into animals, which he didn't put up his butt.
Allegedly.
I mean, there could have been a few
deleted
cuts
scene.
In between, there could
deleted
have been a few
scene.
Cuts in between in which he was like, "Ooh, mice, my favorite."
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Deleted
just,
scene.
Just cut.
Yeah, but Flabber turned him into mice, but then he turned him into robot bug people.
Before that, describe what Flabber is.
Flabber is a what you would get if you took the love child between Elvis Presley, Bruce Campbell, forgive me, and Liberace. Threw in some Jay Leno, killed him, brought him back to life as a ghost, and then trapped him in an organ where all he had to do was listen to a cassette tape of puns, one-liners, and stupid pop culture references.
Maybe this is why Fred Phelps hates the gay community.
And you thought I went too far.
Also, Flabber has magic powers that can do anything, but to make sure he's not super OP, he's terrible at it.
Like giving the toe-headed white boy super advanced telekinesis.
To be fair, that was an accident. Apparently that was like some residual thing from as a side effect of
sure,
activating
but at
powers.
The same time, I kind of don't buy that, because in the end, it's just too suspect that he gave the black kid the ability to run really, really fast.
Yeah.
And he gave the girl, who clearly has to prove herself in this 90s society, super strength.
Yes.
But she ain't need no man.
Yes, she don't need no man. She's that strong, independent woman.
So... I have to admit that the premise for the show actually isn't that bad. So because they freed him, Flabber gives them a wish, and they wish to become like their favorite superheroes, the Beetleborgs,
yeah.
Which are from a comic. That's an interesting idea.
Oh yeah, like having the superheroes be from an existing continuity within the show. That's neat. That's interesting.
And then they get their armor, which I say to this day looks amazing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it's made of metal. It looks like proper armor.
The best part is like they're actually like the kids are kids, and then when they henshin, they're full size, you know, adult suit actors.
You know, because tradition.
Which
yeah.
is fine, and because they have to use the stock footage, but not one mention of this fact is brought up the entire show.
Never at any point say, "Hey,
no
why are we
one
told?
Questions why they're adult sized."
Yep.
See, my favorite thing is, like you go to Turbo with Justin, at least it showed him getting taller.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is just armor's on, they're suddenly tall.
Well, think about it, well, it's obviously just a trick of switching from suit to kids,
no,
like,
really.
Obviously.
No, but it's what Taichi said, they don't even mention it, which is weird.
No, I know, but the reason why I'm pretty sure the reason why they mentioned it in Turbo is because he is just literally much smaller than every other Power Ranger that exists. For them, there's just no precedent. This
yeah.
is just kind of how the powers work. It doesn't really need much of an explanation, it's just, that's how the powers work for them. With Justin, you needed to explain it, because he was a kid amongst 20-somethings.
But on that note, you will notice that Joe... Joe is shorter than the rest of them, and becomes even more so after changing actresses mid-show.
Oh, God.
Dealing with something that would have been built by a Japanese woman, maybe?
Yeah.
So naturally small woman.
So after we get pretty awesome armor, it's time for unfunny shenanigans involving a Frankenstein monster, a vampire, and a skeleton man.
That never shows up again.
Like, I watched this episode, and they show this skeleton guy among the monster crew, and I'm like, who the fuck is that? I don't remember him. Yeah.
Sorry, by the way, there's a monster crew in this show.
Yeah.
A lot of the humor in this show comes from golden age of cinema monsters, like, you know, the Draculas, the mummies,
and
the Frankensteins.
Which I appreciate. Let's name them off, because their names are actually amusing. The vampire is Count Fangula.
The Frankenstein's name is Frankenbeans.
Yep.
The
whose creator we do meet in an episode.
The mummy's name is Mums, and the wolf's name is
Wolfgang. They usually call him Wolfie.
Wolfie, yeah. Frankie, Fang, Mums, whatever.
And
Flab.
An offensive stereotype.
There was also Rockettes that only appeared for one episode.
I know, I'd rather watch a show about the Sentai Rockettes than I would about these fucking kids.
They live in a pipe organ and make annoying comments.
So being the fuck-up that he is, Flabber also releases some monsters from the comic
book. Makes me angry, because this entire show, the problems in this show happened... The kids didn't receive their powers to fight Vexor. They just wanted to be fucking superheroes and dick around and cause a bunch of public damage.
Exactly.
They released their irresponsibility, released a bunch of villains.
Technically, Flabber's irresponsibility, which he takes full responsibility for.
The word of the day is responsibility.
Right? There's no accountability in this fucking show.
Oh, so more like kids the more I think about it. Like actual kids.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, they're just like... Instead of having them transformed into Beetleborgs because they came across this vast conspiracy of this metrosexual ghost that fights this very phallic monster.
Plot twist, Flabber's the villain!
Yeah. No, but yeah.
Oh god.
But yeah, just like, this metrosexual ghost that fights this villain that looks like a dick, and is a dick, and his henchmen are like fucking Demi Devimon with dreadlocks.
Yep.
They've got Natasha from Rocky and Bullwinkle, if she was a Voorhees.
Yeah.
And
Goldar with a whale on his head.
Venus flytrap, like, you know...
Louis Armstrong.
Literally, it's like fucking Armstrong.
I
see borgs of blue!
What was his name?
Typhus.
Like the disease!
I just would have loved it when they decided to cast Typhus. They just went to themselves... Hey, that Goldar character's popular, right?
Yeah.
Let's do him again!
Yeah.
Let's put a mouth on his head so we can eat popcorn.
And sooner or later,
so the monsters wreak havoc in the local town,
but they don't actually.
Yeah.
The best thing about that entire thing, as they're wreaking havoc, they only had like four extras.
Yeah.
And the best thing is, like, there's this one point where they're in the foreground, our monsters, and in the background you see a guy just like doing this. He doesn't know what to do. He's just like on his car, like going.
Yeah.
Oh no.
That sure is my truck.
Oh no.
Like. Direction!
And
direction!
And the thing is, they never really hurt anybody.
No.
They
cause one dude on his bike to awkwardly make a sharp turn into a cake store and walk out with a face full of cake.
They
right?
go into movie theaters where they're only playing the same scene of Nosferatu three times over and over.
And people are getting really freaked out by it.
But the best aspect...
Because this is the 90s and cosplay is apparently not a thing yet.
So, you know, my favorite aspect of that when they went into the theater was that you just see, like, some people leave just, like, calmly behind
yeah.
them.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Are they doing a publicity stunt? I'm getting
some
out of here.
Some dumbass in a costume just sat in front of me, and now I cannot see the screen.
Because his mouth keeps
fuck
on his head, keeps doing this.
Fuck this, I'm leaving.
The thing is, them in the movie theater is one of my favorite scenes for two reasons. One, Typhus actually eating popcorn with his head mouth. And two, Jara actually takes popcorn from Hitler, apparently.
Yeah! There's a... Hitler makes a cameo!
Yeah.
Like,
what the hell?
But all of you... all of my Danger 5 peeps out there, Hitler does wear hats!
And always.
I'm getting my my Phaelus flashbacks on that one. Like, Hitler, what are you doing here?
Yeah, pretty much.
But no, my point was, Jara takes popcorn from this guy and tries to eat it, but she's got like hexadecimal mask syndrome where she tries to eat it and it just falls, and then actually makes a comment about it. The rest of me is 3D, why not my mouth? And I'm like, Jesus Christ, they just made fun of their suits.
So
yeah.
Self-aware.
That's amazing.
Oh my god. Oh, fuck. But, But yeah, like, there's a lot of wacky antics. They're in the theater, they steal from Hitler, and then the kids start talking about how it's so super cool that they get superpowers. But then Flabber's all like, yeah, but because we released those villains from the comic strip, now you guys actually have responsibilities.
He's just like, I'm sorry, I fucked up. I accidentally released the villains. You're going to have to fight them and be Beetleborgs. And their response is, cool!
Awesome!
Radical!
Oh my God,
tubular!
Reaganomics!
You mean lives are in danger? The town could possibly be destroyed?
Okay, let's...
Awesome!
Let's not give them too much credit.
Yeah.
No lives are in danger.
You're giving those monsters a bit much credit.
Hey, they do have beams!
No lives are in danger here.
So... We cut to the monsters going to their hideout.
To the graveyard of perpetual night.
Yeah, exactly.
With their smoke machine.
Oh, yeah. They love them.
This
fog
is
machine.
The best of all of the lairs we've ever had. Look, it's dank, there's dead people, and our own smoke machine.
Oh.
It's so good.
So Vexor comes up out of the coffin that is apparently the gateway to their base. And
like the phallic symbol that he is, just...
there's like... Donnie most.
I like that we can make these jokes being on video.
Yeah, I know, right?
So he gives them shit for being late, and then they make this really interesting shot where he like transports back in, and each of them in turn just falls into the box. And I'd really like to see how that was shot.
It is most likely just a trap
again,
door.
Again, trap door.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a little smoke.
Probably some soft stuff at the bottom.
My question is why they had to do the fire teleportation thing just to fall down a hole.
Yeah, really. Because
it's a portal into the nether realm, duh.
But the funny thing is, like, they teleport in after coming in the box, but if you see the way that they walk out of the base in other shots, you know that cave, you know that cave at the back where Shadowborg beamed his way out?
Uh-huh.
Apparently you have to go into the cave by fire teleporting in, but you can just walk out through that back passage.
Right?
It's like one of those fish traps that you can only go in one way.
Yeah, exactly. So useless. So fucking useless.
So
speaking
of useless and terrible, Vexor... has come up with a genius plan to defeat their freshly hatched Beetleborg rivals.
Looks too much like Forze.
Oh God, no! Why did you say that? He does.
He looks too much like Forze and too little like Roshuo for my taste.
Oh no!
He's everything wrong with Roshuo and everything. Well, there's nothing right with Forze.
I was like, what?
So, it's Forze and everything wrong with Roshuo from Gaim.
Fuck, and he predates them both, so maybe he was the inspiration.
So why isn't Lane here to say how he's the best thing ever?
I know, right?
I like Vexor. I think he's pretty cool looking.
What the fuck was
also,
I saying? Oh yeah, Vexor's evil plan. Go to Hillhurst and find a way to defeat the Beetleborgs.
Don't actually defeat the Beetleborgs. Find a way to defeat the Beetleborgs.
And then when
and
they
can
then
we
they
use
come back.
Stupid antics?
And this
of course,
way,
the only way we operate.
And this is another reason why Jara is my favorite of the trio. That's it? What kind of plan is that?
Fuck you, go!
Okay.
So
I'm more intimidating than you for some reason.
Ooh.
I'll rape you with my head.
So they go to Hillhurst.
Again.
Well, I don't think they haven't been to Hillhurst yet until this point.
They left from there. That's where they were pulling.
That's where
a
they were born.
No, I know, but they've never been physically in Hillhurst until they
only
met.
Only in their fire teleportation.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, you know what I'm.
It counts.
But
so
they
literally bust the door down, and walk in, and the Beetleborgs transform, and through their transformation in true Tokusatsu style, are in a completely different location than when they started transforming.
Yeah.
How do we get here?
Stock footage.
Like they're in the room
stock
of the piano
footage.
When they transform. And then after the henshin sequence, they're up on the staircase in a different room, which is fine. I don't care. Just a thing.
Just continuity.
They
what's that?
They leap off the staircase while saying, "Careful, it might be a..." And the monsters cut in with, "Trap! Beams!"
Yeah.
See, like, my problem with that entire fight in general, actually, was the fact that these guys looked like, these poor actors in these suits looked like they had no room. They're all, like, bunched up like this. Like,
yeah.
And, like, they're trying to make these
like
movements.
Suits.
Like,
Jara was the only one that looked like she had some mobility.
They're gonna destroy the Beetleborgs! It's gonna be great! I can barely move!
And I was
robot dreadlocks are getting in my eyes!
speaking of Noxic, I was saying this during the riff, but
yeah.
I don't know which came first, Noxic or Demi Devimon.
I'm
but
sure.
Derek Stephen Prince probably inspired one from the other.
Derek Stephen Prince tends to use that voice for everything, though.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
So, like, I mean, I love him, but same time.
Yeah.
It's the same. Like, I'm going to say this came before Digimon.
I don't mean just the voice, but the personality, too.
This is really, really early 90s.
I question that, though. I think I was watching both at about the same time.
Okay, so they hired him around the same time.
Yeah.
The question is, which did they say, okay, no, use the voice you used for this guy,
yeah.
too.
They
yeah.
were both Fox Kids shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they couldn't have come out too far between one another.
Yeah.
Long story short, for the first episode we did, there's a fight at Hillhurst. The villains run because curses, we've been defeated by the meddling kids, and everybody laughs and says a pun. And then
you know what I just realized?
Yeah,
we see the foot, like not the soldier. Sorry, the, like
the jets.
Jets. We don't ever see those get taken care of.
Sometimes they have their attack vehicles that they.
But that's
what I
mean.
That's
we never see
episode.
The attack vehicles.
They don't get their battle base till the next episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, that was something I noticed. Like, I mean, you know, no fault to you, actually, but none of these episodes do we ever see their vehicles.
No, that's the thing. Yeah. I not intentional, but these were just the three episodes I thought would be the
yeah.
most interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, their Beetle Battle Base was the following episode.
It's actually called a Beetle Battle Base.
It is. And then in Metallic, it's the Beetle Battle Station.
What was that one that really, that like the tank one?
Gargantus.
Gargantus. I loved
yeah.
Gargantus.
Oh, yeah.
Not to be confused with Titanus.
Oh. So, the episode was just to see them in the suits. They, like I said, the suits look great.
Yeah, they look good.
In the next episode,
they go to Comic Con.
They go to
they
actual,
actually go to Comic Con.
Actual.
I was floored. Comic-Con. I didn't know that when I watched that.
Okay, here was the thing. It ended up being a flub, but what's the black kid's name again?
Roland.
Roland's
yep.
dad comes up and says, "Kids, I got tickets to Comic Con." He says, "Com."
Comic Con.
Now, at first I thought, is that their way of like not getting a lawsuit?
But they clearly show the Comic Con logo.
It's got the. It is Comic Con.
I think they're just trying to portray him as a dork.
And they couldn't just.
I want to know, was that intentional or was that a flub? I would love to
know.
He's more of a comic dork than his son. I don't think
he
mispronounced Comic Con.
Dude,
they just decided not to do another take.
Yeah, he's clearly cosplaying Doug.
Right?
Right.
Green
sweater. Like,
clearly cosplaying Doug.
Oh, you know what we forgot to mention? The opening scene of this episode where
oh,
they save the carriage.
Where they save the carriage that
yeah.
has nothing to do with anything
yeah.
else.
The just opening scene from this thing, it's them saving a baby carriage. And here's how the continuity of these shots work. Up on top of a hill, carriage starts rolling down. They're running after the carriage. Someone at the middle of the downslope of the hill just walks out
of
their
house,
runs down as they're chasing the baby carriage, and he comes down and he's like, "Oh, sorry, that's my carriage. I was up there at the top and I just walked away for a few minutes." To which I respond, "You just came out of your house."
It's not even that, he says that
he left it unguarded.
That's the thing. Him and his wife are like apparently practicing for a child, and at which point I'm going, "You're not fit to be a father, sir."
I know. You left your child's carriage up at the crest of a hill, walked down that hill.
It's not that they were practicing, it's the carriage and all of the things in it were gifts for his wife.
Which he or someone just left at the top of a hill.
He didn't even turn
unattended.
He didn't even turn the carriage so it can't roll.
Exactly.
And he just runs out of his house.
This man must not have his G license.
He runs out of his house and he's just like, "I'm sorry, I left that up there and I just like lost control of it." You walked out of your fucking house. That means you would have had to walk down the hill, leave the carriage up there, walk into your house, do your shit, come back, and then come back up the hill to get your baby carriage.
All right.
I really hope that's not how you're going to take care of your child.
Yes, all
sir. Right, I've got our confirmation on this. Beetleborgs predated the dub release of Digimon by about 3 years.
Okay,
oh, okay,
stuff.
So Noxic came before Demi Devimon.
About 3 years.
Good to know.
Well done, sir.
Feel free to sit in.
Feel free to come in and sit in.
For the next panel.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's already 2 o'clock.
Wow, yeah, it is.
Is it already 2 o'clock?
Oh, crap.
It is almost
Shoot.
2.
Shoot.
So episode, how much
they go to Comic Con.
They go to Comic Con. They fight a bunch of monsters. It's really, really.
They meet Art Fortunes.
They meet the comic book creator that created their comic book. He's really, really downplayed and isn't really a character in this. He just sort of
a hermit.
Actually,
he becomes one of their main allies later on.
He does, but right now he just sort of serves the purpose.
He's a hermit who freaks out everything.
He's also a cameo by the.
Yeah, yeah.
And Spider-Man.
Yeah,
and a Count Fangula cosplayer.
And
some
a
reason.
Samurai Pizza Cat.
Right.
All
that
right.
happened.
They fight
all
a bunch
the same
of,
episode.
They fight a bunch of monsters, one of which was a space sheriff, and I guess that space sheriff helped them. I don't know. It
they,
wasn't
they
quite
clearly
clear.
Took footage from a B-Fighter cameo crossover.
It wasn't quite clear because, honestly, if those were their allies, why didn't they stay and help them throughout the show? They're never seen again.
Yeah.
They fight the guys that looks like really shitty stock footage overlaid onto comic book panels, and they're like, yeah, Power Rangers in the end, and that's it.
Guys, you missed the Beetleborgs!
Right?
They were just here!
Wow! I feel super stupid. Moving on to the only good part of Beetleborgs, the Shadowborg arc, which we only talked about the first episode of.
There's really nothing to say about this except that the Shadow...
Jar rips a piece of Drew's armor off. It's actually pretty neat to see under the armor of the circuitry. Vexor uses it to make the Shadowborg. He shows up at the house, blast beams at the ground because angry.
Yeah,
and then,
apparently.
And then
I'm angry, fuck the ground!
And his voice was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And then
it is just a normal person's voice with a weird synthesized
And then he turns the Beetleborg's powers into crystal nipples.
Yes.
Behold my Christmas nipples. Red, green.
This happens!
And now for the blue one in the middle.
I like how he had to actually grab red and green to take their powers, but then he just beams it right out of blue.
Why did you
fuck do that before? Because he felt like dicking around with them.
I was just getting flashbacks to, like, you know, the South Park episode with Mel Gibson. Oh, my nipples, they hurt.
Yeah. I want you to.
Oh,
well, bitch, you're gonna torture me!
Oh yeah, they also introduced Josh in this episode.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, the
douchey asshole who's 1 year older and thus is the authoritarian over them.
Yeah,
well, you kids.
And
kids who are 1 year younger than me.
And he totally shirks the attention of the Blue Beetleborg's love interest, Heather.
Not totally shirks.
No, I mean like totally takes over, that's what I meant to say.
Totally freaking...
Like, they're holding hands by the end of the
episode. That's our cliffhanger, by the way.
He acts completely aloof because, you know, chicks dig that, I guess. And she totally digs him by the end of it. And by the end of it, the Blue Beetleborg, who has this total crush on the girl, is standing there like, meh. And his two best friends, his best friend and sister are like, heh, our buddy's heart is being stomped on right now.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, funny.
Da, 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 da.
So overall, Beetleborgs, guys, what would you say?
Terrible.
It's terrible,
it's
but
bad.
I love it.
It's the nostalgia
it hasn't
always...
aged well.
No,
no it
all.
Has not.
It will, like, you can watch it and have some silly guilty pleasure moments. Like, it's nothing special. But you know what? It's got a few nice, cool throwbacks to the old classic monster movies. I mean, they were playing Nosferatu in the theater when they had the villains terrorizing people for the first time. That's really
That was
neat.
Great to see.
It clearly shows a really high amount of respect for the classic movie monsters. I mean, it's just...
Really?
It's a love story. It's an homage to old-timey 60s...
Homage was fine. I wouldn't call it a love letter.
I think this show is a perfect example of what would happen if the Power Rangers were actually children.
Yeah.
If it was a straight-up comedy.
It's the Scooby-Doo of tokusatsu.
Perfect.
There you go. That's a
nailed it.
Statement.
Bunch of
right
meddling
there.
Kids fighting evil people and... Curse those meddling kids, we'll get them
with the
next
help of,
time.
With the help of a flamboyant phantom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Metrosexual penis ghost. Yes. That is exactly
that
what this is
fucking
about.
Fucking chin.
Oh, the best part is, in the second season opening, he does pull a nose gets longer, but then, like, pushes it back down.
Of course.
Yeah. For the kids!
Anyways.
For the kids!
Anyways. On that note, good night, everybody!
Yep.
Thanks for watching.
We're here at AFK Con. You'll check it out when it's back around. It's a lot of nice people here.
It'll be here in February of next year. So check them out at afkcon.com.
Right.
We'll be here again next year, hopefully.
Yep.
A lot of nice people. And signing out.
Later, guys.